Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yabba-dabba-doo! Here we are, my friends. It is Wednesday, it is hump day, it is a happy hump day, Trump Day, 6:08. On the Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. How's that slimy bass doing in California, Karen Bass? Well, I guess she advanced to a runoff election. She didn't get 51% of the vote. She deserved about 0.2% of the vote.
On a good day.
I mean, she really sucks as a mayor, and I don't half, you know, I only half pay attention what's going on in LA, but she's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what Democrats will put up with. I mean, if you polled them individually on all of the issues, she would fail on, I think, maybe most or all of them. But yet, oh, she's a D. Yeah, we like Karen. Oh, she's a female. Oh, she's a black. We have to vote for her. So there you go, I guess. I don't quite understand it. But now you've got Spencer Pratt. This guy, what is he? Kind of a TV actor kind of guy?
Reality show, yeah.
Yeah, but look, anybody could do that job better than she has.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about his lack of credentials or whatever. I'm like, I'm sorry. You couldn't do any worse than her. I really don't. Remember, she's the one that hightailed it out of there. She was out of the country while, you know, L.A. was burning. Just took off. What is that? How much more do you need to know? And there is a lot more to it than that. And it's failure after failure. But anyway, so, of course, she's going to advance. And now, is this Spencer Pratt? You know how it's weird out there where, you know, you advance, primary could be the same party. Is he going to make it? Because all this last-minute voting pouring in. Yeah. And California is notorious for taking a long time to vote. You know, gosh, technology has really helped us so much. You know, remember as a child, you know, they called the Nixon election, I think, even before, you know, the lights were out in most cities.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and that for years and years. I mean, you can go back to like Abraham Lincoln's time. You know,
sure, there were less people, but they were counting by hand.
Yeah. It is amazing. And what does that do? That just it opens it up and makes it so much more vulnerable to cheating. And then they don't want to have voter ID and all that. It's a little bit of common sense would go a long way. So you got that going on. And what about the Republican candidate for governor that we've all, well, anybody with a brain's been rooting for, Steve Hilton. And he appeared, quote unquote, appeared to finish on the top of the state's open primary. He wasn't on top. He's barely hanging on to second, and that's what he has to finish, first or second. So he's barely hanging in there because this article is dated like 3 hours ago. So it is one of those things where I remember in Alachua County, you know, and it's just one county. You go to bed and you're like, oh, yeah, they didn't pass that. What was it called? It was basically a medical type thing. To put clinics in around town. And I'm like, you know, it didn't pass. And then literally in the dead of the night, all of a sudden, oh, here's some more votes. Wake up in the morning, they go, it narrowly passed. It was, and not a single person, you know, that you would talk to voted for it. You know, so.
Oh, I've talked to people who were involved in witnessing, air quotes here, recounts.
Yes.
On some elections, and it's kind of like they weren't even recounting the earlier stuff. They were just like looking at the last ones that came in. Again, kind of your scenario. No, a recount is a recount, not just looking at the ones that came in later.
So elections, by and large, seem to lack integrity. We'll use that word for now. And I guess maybe that's par for the course for everything. Just like I started laughing when Craig said something about a peace agreement or a ceasefire.
Ceasefire, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A ceasefire. I've never seen so much action. I'm going to go to Hey, you want to go to the new ceasefire movie? Yeah.
It's explosive.
Yeah.
Really? Come on.
Wow, that's some kind of ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And you just, again, where's the integrity in the ceasefire? It's just bizarre. Iran's flying all these drones everywhere and attacking. And it's like, I'm take the gloves off. Get it done, man. Mm-hmm. Probably something we should have done 47 years ago.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Make a nice parking lot, and then after a couple of years, we'll poke some holes in it and get some oil out of there. And I feel bad. I feel bad for the people that live there, but you know what? I mean, we rose up. Americans rose up. We fought the most powerful military force in the world, the Brits.
Yeah.
I mean, they were it. And we beat them.
They were taking over the world, or had by
then,
pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
The British Empire. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, a bunch of ragtags, would beat them up.
Yeah.
Yep. So, the Iranian people in general are considered, smart people, educated, but they were suckers. Just like some of the young people in America today, not all of them young, but they're just such suckers. When somebody tries to say a socialism, it was the same thing in Iran. Yeah, we got to get rid of the Shah. We're going to do our own government. We're going to, this guy's a puppet of the U.S. and all that. Right. It's going to be so much better.
Huh.
Well, you know who it was better for? The ones that maybe the ones that helped with the overthrow, and then they were part of the regime and the government, so they did fine. But everybody else, their life's been miserable for 47 years. Miserable. There are lessons to be learned here, but who's going to teach the lessons? Our teachers?
Wow.
I'm sorry. You're going to hear that stupid, silly laugh coming out of me because I don't know how else to react to the things that are going on in the world around us. And I want to laugh at this, but it's not funny. Joe Biden crashed his wife's little book deal. You know, she was, Whoopi was promoting it.
Okay.
She had a one-on-one interview with Jill.
I missed this.
Joe jumped. Yeah, he started walking toward the stage. Everybody's like, well, what's he doing?
Oh, my goodness.
It was not scripted at all. It was, you talk about the term cringeworthy. It's like, Jill, leave him at home, for God's sakes, for the love of God.
Uh-huh.
Do you not, is anything sacred? Why would you let the man wander around like, how do you describe him? It's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he was a jerk the vast majority of his life, frankly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But now his behavior, you can't even blame him for his behavior. So I don't know what to say, but you can certainly, and she even, I don't know, she slipped or something when she was on The View. She said something like, talking about how he's doing, and he had the prostate cancer and all that, been treated, but she said something. I'm not a doctor, and then she paused, and she goes, "Well, I am a doctor." They're all like,
great Surgeon General coming.
Yeah,
there you go, Whoopi.
But yeah, it was cringeworthy. He was stuttering. Who do you love? Who do you love the most? That's what he said.
Oh my goodness.
The middle of this interview. Who do you love the most, Jill? And she said, Whoopi, which was funny, and the crowd reacted in that way, but he just kept at it, and he had that kind of sort of blank stare and deer in the headlights. And
nobody's home.
Come on.
It's sad.
Leave Joe home.
That should be a campaign.
You know why he showed up.
Why is that?
He wants that 10% of the book deal. He's the big guy.
Oh, yeah?
He does remember that.
He does.
617, Bob Rose Show, rolling. Greg Cassidy is here. Ton of stuff to get to, including what's going on in Iran. Marco Rubio speaks out next on 97.3 The Sky.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome. It is 6:22. It's the Bob Rose Show. Craig Cassidy is here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We've got a lot to talk about, including, well, election results, at least as much as we can get. Apparently, President Trump's streak has ended. I think it was somebody had picked in Iowa to win, did not make the cut. So we'll dig into that a little bit. But he's gone at the age of 75. Peebo Bryson.
What a voice.
Yeah, can't beat it. That's probably why he got two Grammys for a couple of Disney film classics, Beauty and the Beast and A Whole New World. Passed away at the age of 75. Complications following a recent stroke, and family and friends were, well, at least some were around him at that time, and he transitioned peacefully at 5 p.m. on Tuesday evening. So, Peebo Bryson, rest in peace. At least you have that legacy of some fine music.
Did a lot of duets. He was just one of those guys over, you know, a couple of decades that he was the voice. If you wanted, you know, that smooth, you know, silky sound for the male vocalist side, he was the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looks like Kash Patel's got some bragging to do. Big bust going on in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, it's too bad that Tulsi Gabbard stepped down, and I feel for her. Her husband diagnosed with cancer, and she's dealing with that.
Right.
And that's obviously paramount and most important and should be her focus. Because I wanted to use, like, Tulsi and Cash. Remember the movie? It was terrible. Tango and Cash?
Yes, I do.
Remember that? What was that? Kurt Russell and Stallone, I think.
Yeah.
I think so, right?
I think so.
And but, yeah, it could have been Tulsi and Cash.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And but anyway, Cash is on his own. The FBI Tuesday said 35 people have been charged narcotics, firearms, offenses stemming from a year-long federal operation in West Virginia, while also unveiling a new nationwide summer crime-fighting initiative.
Ooh, crime-fighting.
Cops in shorts.
Well, it's summertime, you know.
Well, you got to fit in.
Yeah, yeah. Got to blend.
The Bureau said FBI Pittsburgh, FBI Baltimore launched Operation Turf War.
Ooh.
And this was along the Eastern Panhandle Drug and Violent Crimes Task Force. No, actually, that is the Eastern Panhandle Drug and Violent Task Force. That's all part of it. The operation resulted in the seizure of illegal firearms, narcotics, along with forfeitures of proceeds allegedly used to fund violent criminal activity. So congratulations there. They say it's a massively successful operation in West Virginia. Nearly three dozen individuals arrested. Cash Patel said that the operation demonstrated exactly what partnerships are supposed to look like. Of course, take a little bit of a shot at maybe some of the folks that are sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. And while you're playing these games and not wanting to work effectively with the feds, then what, you think crime will get improved, get better? Or do you think drug dealing and other things are going to proliferate throughout your community?
I think would be the answer there.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Let's raise a pint. Raise a pint up to George. If it wasn't for George, we might not be living in freedom. I'm talking about George Washington.
Oh, we're going way back then. Okay.
What a You know what?
What's that?
The New York Library. They got together with a brewing company. And
really?
Yeah. Now how? Now why would that be?
Like drinking and reading? Is it a new program or what?
No, the library holds a lot of very special documents, especially like say from the founding of our nation.
Gotcha.
Well, guess what? George Washington, on the back of like one of his military pieces, wrote down a recipe for beer.
Really?
Well,
wow.
You got to remember that there was always a problem with water before we had real water filtration and all that.
Yeah.
So here you got soldiers. You don't want them to get sick. So they would try to find basically, you want a low alcohol content.
Of course.
Because, you know, I'm ready to stand guard, Captain.
No.
That, you don't want that. Mm-mm. So it was supposed to be a low alcohol content, and but they went as close as they could to the recipe and probably make it palatable for the modern era. But, yeah, they put this together. So it's the 250th birthday. And I would imagine this is going to be kind of popular. Yep. As part of their 250 years, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the New York Public Library teamed up with New York City-based Talia Beer Company to produce a special edition Liberty Lager.
Have a pint while turning the pages.
Yes. A Liberty Lager.
Okay.
Raise a pint. Salute. George Washington. I love it. 250 years. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And what's going on in California in the gubernatorial race? Details on that and more coming up. 97.3 The Sky.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a happy hump day, Trump day.
No charge?
I mean, I don't give it to you, but...
Well, you made it up.
Well, that is true. So, I've been doing this since, what, 2015?
When it came down the...
Gosh, if I could have got a penny for everyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'd have a few dollars.
I could buy,
maybe.
I could buy myself a six-pack of George Washington beer.
At the library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be hard to make it better than Billy Beer.
Oh, boy, there's a flashback.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It is funny, though, because, you know, so many politicians have that family member, and poor Jimmy Carter had Billy.
Better than a Hunter. Rather have a Billy than a Hunter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There were no strippers involved. There was no
that we know of.
Illicit drug use that we know
it
of.
It was before TMZ.
Yeah, well, see, that's...
So there's that.
That's probably why.
Good morning and welcome. It's 6:38. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we're very proud for this month of June to be the month where we shine the spotlight of valor on local first responders. We did it yesterday at 8:35, as we do every weekday morning throughout the month of June. And thanks to Lawful Defense, Shoot GTR, and Campus USA Credit Union for us to be able to do this. And the valor, yesterday we were saluting EMT Kyle Livingston in High Springs. He didn't do specifically like one heroic type action, but he was involved in so many multiples of things in a relatively small, you know, law enforcement department. Innovative aptitude tests for new hires, helping a community risk reduction coordinator, child passenger safety technician. I mean, just helping like people fit and make sure their car seats and the helmets the kids wear and all that are properly done. That's life-saving in itself. And then he established the city's Narcan distribution program. And unfortunately, even wonderful little towns like High Springs can have drug issues there, and you want to save lives. Narcan's very, very important to that. So anyway, EMT and firefighter Kyle Livingston, a salute to you. Thanks for your valor and what you do in your vital role. And listen up in, less than 2 hours, right here on the Bob Rose Show, we'll present another Sky Valor honoree. And I look forward to it, and a lot of people do. And you can go to our website, thesky973.com, if you want to read some of the background on these things as we honor all these Valor recipients. All right, so you've got that going on. Tom Steyer, this guy, is he comfortable in his own skin? He's a little bit of an odd guy. This is the rich guy out in California is running for governor. And he recently, there's a clip of him congratulating that trans athlete that won, you know, the big state competition in California.
The dude in the girls' team,
The dude racing the ladies.
Yeah.
the dude that was racing the ladies, and it was that whole thing was awkward to begin with because that person was at, you know, the number one position on the podium.
Right.
And then they invited a bunch of the other actual girls in this girls division thing to join that person on the the podium.
Right. So they got their awards. And then...
But it was so cheesy.
But then his mom got upset that the girls, who are on the girls team, also got awards because it was all about her son, who thinks he's a girl, and does better now that he's on a girls team.
And so Steyer is congratulating the winner, Steyer, and he does. He's like going to break up into tears.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those, you know, you're so brave kind of things.
No, you couldn't win against the other guys.
You're so brave.
So you join the girls' team. Come on.
It's like a Seinfeld episode or wherever where what's his face? The bumbling guy that comes stumbling in all the time fights a bunch of like little karate kids.
Yes,
remember that?
Right.
So it's kind of like that. It's like, you're so brave, Bob, to beat up those 7-year-olds. That was courageous of you. You are, you know, Chuck Norris Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, how ridiculous is it? And yet this.
Oh, my. He's getting all weepy, huh?
Yeah, Tom Steyer. So there's that to deal with. Oh, Greg found this, so you know you should get some praise for this.
Okay,
the 10th annual.
Oh yes,
10th annual Uber Lost and Found Index. I mean, Uber millions of rides every day. Busy, busy, busy. And when people get busy, 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 they forget things. A lot of us have done it. Maybe not in an Uber, but left stuff in a vehicle or whatever.
Yeah, but it's usually like, okay, your wallet fell out of your pocket, you put your phone down. If that was all the list was, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, like if it's, oh, I don't know, say a couple of your teeth. And I don't mean like to put under the pillow to get your 2 quarters or whatever it
I'm
is
sure
now.
Inflation's run that up.
U.S., you know, Ulysses S. Grant, $50 now, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, somebody left behind like dentures, but one with 2 teeth, like a bridge.
I bet, do you just take that out randomly and leave it in a car? I mean, what's the deal there?
Here, this is one. A picture, a group picture featuring Donny Osmond.
See, how could you even lose such a precious item?
I know.
Come on, it's Donny Osmond.
Look, if you value it enough to actually own it,
yes,
carrying it around,
yeah,
you
hold on to it,
wouldn't leave it there.
No.
Donuts. How could you leave a donut behind?
No donut left behind.
I was thinking the same thing. but it's what it's kind of odd though, the number of donuts that have been left behind in the past year.
Huh.
420.
Really?
Ah.
Maybe that explains why they forgot the donuts.
That's what I'm thinking.
And why they had the munchies.
You know, we were talking about George Washington. They recently found a recipe for beer that he made for his troops going way back. This way before even 1776. And so George Washington is going to be talked about, you know, a lot during the 250th celebration. Well, somebody left George Washington hospital discharge papers.
What? How do you even get those?
I'm thinking it's probably a hospital named George Washington. Now that I've kind of absorbed that one.
Okay, I was going to say, but there were big things. I mean, like an aquarium and a dishwasher.
So you get out and you're starting to head up into the building you're going into, and you realize you forgot something.
Yeah.
So you want to run and catch the Uber driver, right?
Yep.
The problem is the thing you left behind was an oxygen tank.
Oh. Don't do too much running then.
That's what I'm saying.
Careful.
What if you don't catch him?
Oof.
Then you're in double trouble.
Yeah.
The things people left behind in Ubers.
It's crazy. Crazy
yeah,
stuff.
That list will keep on giving. We'll have some fun with that throughout the morning. All right, folks. What is going on in the world? You're right. Ignore it. Go back to bed. Sleep tight and have sweet dreams, my friends.
Aw.
Nope, it's a happy hump day, Trump day. We're going to pump you up. Marco Rubio, what's going on? What do we need to do to get the strait open? We'll ask him next on 97.3 The Sky. shaping up already. I can tell it's going to be another day in paradise. It's going to be another awesome day. It's already a happy hump day, Trump day, my friends. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here.
Hey.
What are we, day number three of hurricane season. It's early in the season, but just a quick friendly reminder, it's never too early to be prepared. So think about those things. Check something off. Just say, you know, every couple of days, I'm going to check something off. I'm going to make sure I got the water. I'm going to make sure maybe I'm looking to it, getting a generator, or make sure my generator actually works. Those kinds of things, because we will be there with you through the entire thing.
Yep.
We've staked our reputation on it, I tell ya. All right, let's switch gears. Marco!
Rubio!
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
What is going on with Marco? First, there's this. I love this. What is a ceasefire? What is a ceasefire?
When a couple of opponents that are in battle are no longer shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like it keeps going on, but they say there's still a ceasefire in effect. Hmm. I just wonder what the limitations are. It's like, look, because we hit them with a very small nuclear charge, the ceasefire still theoretically is in effect.
Because it was small.
Yeah. I'm just wondering where it at. I mean, you're shooting down drones. You're shooting down missiles.
But they're all defensive on both sides, so those don't count.
So they're saying.
So maybe they don't count.
They're not defensive on the Iran side.
No.
No, they're offensive. Mm. And I'm very offended by that. A cargo ship was attacked by drones while sailing near Umm Qasr port in Iraq. And this happened Monday. On Tuesday, Iran's terrorist, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, claimed responsibility for the missile attack. So they're admitting it against a commercial vessel. They're admitting it.
Hmm.
They described it as justified retaliation for an attack by, quote, terrorist and child killing U.S. military.
They may have that backwards.
Well, don't they wait till their children are like 16 before they hang them?
Well, you got to have some respect.
Aren't they usually?
For
youth, yeah, you know, aren't they, yeah, or 17? I know they've killed 17-year-olds.
Oh yeah, they've had some of their young athletes who like said or did the wrong thing. Oh, they'll hang them in the public
political
square.
Dissidents. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you're the good guys. Keep telling yourself that. Yeah.
Right.
So we want to know, when is the Strait of Hormuz going to be open? Marco Rubio had talked about this recently and dealing with sanctions and all the rest. Here's what he said.
Any sanctions relief is condition-based, which means it has to be in return for the reason why those sanctions were put in place in the first place, which is their nuclear program. Condition number one is they have to reopen the straits. And reopening the straits means the following. Ships can sail through international waters the way they can do through other choke points around the world without being fired upon, without paying a toll.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting that he said a toll, because I just found information this morning, and again, this is Iran claiming it, that they have collected tolls already from, I don't know, several hundred ships.
Wow.
That's what they're saying. But of course, none of these ships are, you know, allies of us, because they said America, Israel, anybody, you know, in it with them, nope, they're not gonna be able to use the strait at all. So they've already kind of answered back on that from some extent. Like, they actually are collecting tolls and getting away with it, at least thus far. And then Secretary of State Marco Rubio declared that the Iran war is over now, while laying out what he described as the Trump administration's non-negotiable conditions for any broader agreement currently under discussion with Tehran. And I respect and I like Marco Rubio, I think he's doing a bang-up great job as Secretary of State. I really do, and
absolutely.
I think he has a great understanding, I think, of geopolitics around the world. I do. I think he has a great handle on it all. And I'm in his corner. I'm rooting for him. I don't know that I'd say that the Iran war is over now.
Yeah.
And if that's something they talked about in the back room, like, let's just say it's over so that the stock market doesn't react unfavorably, so that oil prices don't skyrocket even further. But I don't, it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
They should say, we've taken a pause, and we hope that this pause lasts for eternity. but it might not, and it's conditional. And the conditions are, you got to give up the nuclear stuff, you got to open the Strait of Hormuz, and I hate to do timetables when it comes to any kind of warfare, but yeah, I would say it's time. In other words, give them a certain amount of time and say the strait will be wide open. And he specified this. He was talking to a subcommittee, I think it was yesterday, and he talked about this, and he said, now Iran needs to come out with an announcement and say, you know, the strait is open. We will not attack any commercial vessels, period. You know, and if they do that, then you know, peace talks can continue. It's underway, but they haven't done that. And in fact, they've done almost the opposite. Yeah. They have fired on cargo ships, and they are, you know, pursuing a toll, apparently. Mm-hmm. So and you think you're going to get them to, you know, bring in the bulldozers, open up a hole in the mountain and say, yeah, the uranium's right there. And
yeah, just take it back to...
Still in the same Ziploc bags we put it in originally? No, you know, the heavy grade stuff.
Oh, the good ones.
The
okay.
heavy gauge Ziploc
Not
bags.
Not the off-brand.
Where they actually use, like, real lead-lined zippers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know where I came up with that, but...
It sounds safe, though.
There is. It sounds
sure
safe.
Sure does.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, we've got a lot to talk about. What's going on in the wacky world of California? A bunch of fruits and nuts and, I don't know, maybe some guy with an accent becoming governor? We'll talk about that.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.